seated. How many of you brought your Bibles today?
Yeah.
It might be on a tablet, it might be on your phone, it might be a paper Bible like this one. Everybody stand up. Even if you didn't bring a Bible, stand up. We're going to make our confession of faith and just get our heart ready to receive the incorruptible seed of the Word of God.
Amen.
Hold up your Bible.
Yeah.
Wave it around.
Yeah.
Make the devil mad and Jesus glad, like Pastor John Osteen used to say. And say this with me. Let's make our confession of faith. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I'll be taught the Word of God.
Today I'll be taught the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My heart is receptive.
I will never be the same.
I will never be the same.
I am about to receive.
I am about to receive.
The incorruptible.
The incorruptible.
The indestructible.
The indestructible.
Ever living,
ever living.
Seed of the Word of God.
Of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
I will never be the
never,
same.
Never, never,
never, never, never.
I'll never be the same.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You can go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah to Jesus. And open up your Bibles to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Right after the book of Joshua and before the book of Ruth. Book of Judges. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. I hope you have something to write them down and keep and look over them and reflect on them. Study them out for yourself. The book of Judges, chapter 2. Chapter 2. Just to set this up real quickly. The Israelites have traveled from Egypt out of slavery and bondage, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, beheld and witnessed, had a front row seat to the miracle signs and wonders that God performed to get his people out of slavery into the land that he promised to Abraham and to his seed. And now they're in the land, they possess the land, but something happened to them. And I want to begin to read with, I should start at verse 1, but just for sake of time, let's look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. In other words, Joshua and the whole generation of Joshua that had fought so valiantly, the Lord fought their battles for them, but they also had their part to play. And they saw great things take place. And they took possession of the land, the land that belonged to them, to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. And so it says that also, verse 10, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Those were the false gods of the people of Canaan.
Yeah.
Those were the false demon gods that those ungodly people served. But I want to look again back at verse 10 and just this one part of verse 10. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Why didn't they know the Lord? Why didn't they know the works of the Lord in their father's generation? Because they weren't told about them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told them. Nobody carried on the works of the Lord. Nobody carried on and propagated and continued the obedience, the allegiance to the Lord, and told their children about the great signs and wonders and miracles. What a mighty God we serve. He did this, he did that. He did the impossible in our midst because he loves us, and he had a land created just for us to worship him and to enjoy bounty and plenteous and prosperity. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And dwell in a good land. Yeah. But they dropped the ball. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Maybe once they made it to the promised land, they became complacent. Yeah. Maybe they were tired of the struggles. Maybe they were tired of coming against their enemies and having to fight for every square inch of the land. Maybe they just became so caught up in the everyday issues of life. You know, you can do that. You can get so caught up in things that you forget to honor and serve and obey and make a place in your heart and life for the great Almighty God. Yeah. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, amen.
They didn't stir up their children to serve and obey and follow the commandments and the statutes and live for God and enjoy his blessing. They became complacent. In other words, instead of them influencing the Baal worshipers, instead of them influencing the Ashtaroth worshipers, instead of them making a mighty impact in their generation for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they settled down. They became passive, and they let the sinner people, the lost people, the false worshipers influence them. And they began to serve the false gods. Are you listening to me? See, every generation of people on the face of this earth, we must contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
Amen.
We've got to contend. We've got to contend for the preaching of the gospel. Amen. We've got to contend for signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes.
We've got to contend for the fire of Pentecost.
Yes.
We've got to contend. We've got to be willing to lay it on the line. Lay our lives on the altar of God and go all out for God. We've got a calling. We've got an anointing to make the Almighty God and Jesus Christ of Nazareth known and experienced in our generation.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why we're here.
Yes.
But we've got to contend. See, those Israelites, they stopped contending. They stopped fighting for the truth of the Almighty God.
Yeah.
And the enemy came right in and filled that vacuum with lies, with error, with false worship.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Look at the New Testament equivalent of what I just read. Turn to Jude, right before the book of Revelation. The book before Revelation, Jude, only one chapter in the letter of Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Mm-hmm. Notice, earnestly contend for the faith.
Earnestly.
He's not talking about, you know, the subject of faith. He's not talking about the principles of faith. When he says contend for the faith, he's talking about contend for the entire body of truth that was delivered to the saints on the day of Pentecost and thereafter.
Amen.
The reality of the resurrected Lord Jesus. Yeah. The reality that he's seated at the right hand. The reality that he is daily interceding and praying for the saints.
Yeah.
The fact that he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to equip every believer from the day of Pentecost on,
Amen.
Not to get involved in religion, but to do the works of Jesus himself, to continue his ministry in every generation after him.
Yes.
The body of truth, the New Testament truths of redemption, of healing, of deliverance, of salvation. Hallelujah, signs and wonders.
Yes.
The supernatural, the gifts of the Spirit. Where are the gifts of the Spirit in the Word of Faith churches today?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Come on.
Where are the gifts? Where is the Word of Wisdom, the Word of Knowledge, discerning of spirits?
Come on.
Tongues, interpretation of tongues. Special faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles. These things should be pouring out of us on a daily basis, but not just in the church house, out in the highways and the hedges and the marketplace and the workplace and the schools and the hospitals.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That includes every woman, every person, every believer. The manifestations, operations, and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit is our inheritance as born again, Spirit-baptized Christians.
Yes.
Dividing to every man severally as he will. Every man. See, every person. We need these explosive gifts of the Holy Spirit to war a good warfare against our enemy.
Amen.
And the bondage that he wreaks havoc upon all the people that's around us. Hallelujah. Those are the weapons of our warfare against the prince of darkness. Praise God.
Amen.
Gifts of healings. Hallelujah. Gifts.
Yeah.
Working of miracles.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Special faith. The faith that goes beyond just our normal, faith that we get when we're saved and the faith that we develop. Extraordinary faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But listen to this other translation of Jude 3. I believe it's the New Living Translation. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I'll tell you, the faith, the body of beliefs, the body of truth that we see in the book of Acts is meant for all time in the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those things didn't end when the book of Acts came to an end, because the book of Acts never came to an end.
Right.
There's no ending to the book of Acts.
Amen.
If you go to Acts chapter 28, you'll see there's no ending because we're still living in the book of Acts.
Amen.
You know the Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000, and 1,000 years is as one day unto the Lord. That means that the day of Pentecost, the fire, the glory, the preaching, the miracles was 2 days ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
And we are keepers of the eternal flame of Pentecost that happened 2 days ago.
Yes, we are.
We're supposed to keep that fire burning.
Amen.
Amen.
Say amen with me, somebody.
Amen.
The Passion Translation says, I felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says, for unto whom much has been given, of him shall much be required. Have we been given much?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, saints. Have we been given
Amen.
Much?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, and the scripture says, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:1, that we, that means him, the other apostles, and the believers in Corinth, we have been made to be stewards of the mystery of God.
Yeah.
Do you know what a steward is? A steward is somebody that has been entrusted with something. A steward is one who has been given something to manage well.
Yeah.
To use to the fullest for the glory of God.
Yeah.
We are stewards of the mystery of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something's been entrusted to us. And each generation has to hand it off to the next generation. I see a lost generation in the United States today. A lost generation. When I look around and I see the perversion, the infanticide, when I see the political beliefs that are being pushed by a certain political party in our country, I'm like, what happened to America? Maybe we were like those Israelites that just backed off, became complacent, went to our jobs, just lived a routine life, and forgot that we are on this earth for such a short space of time.
Yeah.
But eternity is forever.
Yeah.
I don't care if you live to be 103 like my great-grandfather did. My father's grandfather lived to be 103. Let me tell you something. In terms of eternity, that's like a snap of the finger.
Right, that's right.
James said, your life is like a vapor that appeareth for a moment and then is no more. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We've got to start becoming more eternity-minded, my brother and sister.
Yes.
Because what we do now in the here and now will affect lives for all of eternity.
All of eternity.
I said all of eternity.
Yes.
Something's been passed on to us. And I think of, every 4 years we have the Olympics. And I love the program or whatever, the thing that they do when they light a torch, and an Olympic runner takes that torch, and he runs so far with it, and then he passes it off to another runner, and he runs so far with it, passes it off to another runner. That flame, that torch of fire. And then finally, the last runner takes that torch and leans it down into the bowl, and a great flame rises up. The torch has been passed to us from these believers in the book of Acts.
That's right.
I said the torch has been passed to us.
Yes, it has.
The flame of fire. We are keepers of that eternal flame.
Yes, we are.
Are you listening to me?
Praise God.
The same fire, the same passion, the same power, the same gifts of the Holy Ghost operating through common, ordinary men and women. The same Holy Spirit, the same signs and wonders is available to every one of us today.
Amen. That's right.
Every single one of us. God has not granted you and I a lesser move of the Holy Spirit in our day than he granted to the believers in the book of Acts.
That's right. Come on.
But it's up to us. It's up to us to keep the fire of Pentecost burning.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
But we've got to contend for it. We've got to cry out for it. You know where revival begins? Well, certainly we need to pray for revival. We need to cry out for revival. Where revival begins is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Revival begins with me.
Yeah.
Revival begins with you.
Yes.
Carrying that flame and touching somebody else with the fire of God. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We have to contend for the move of God in our day.
Yes.
Are you hungry? How many would say, I'm hungry for more of God?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you something. Yeah. There's way more of God that you could have in your life than you have had up to now.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you thirsty for more of God?
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says he fills the hungry soul.
Yeah.
What does he fill it with? Himself.
Yeah. Amen.
He fills the thirsty soul. Thirsty. Are you thirsty for more of God? I mean, let's be honest. If you're not, say, no, I'm not, but I'm willing to be.
Yeah.
You know, God moves when people are humble and honest.
That's right. He does.
You know, I tell people sometimes, how many of you would say, no, I'm not hungry, but I'm willing to be. I want to be. Turn to John chapter 7. I just got done saying he fills the thirsty soul. John's Gospel chapter 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever.
Amen.
John chapter 7. This is Jesus at the great feast day. Verse 37, John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Look at that. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He didn't say, let him come unto me and think. He said, come unto me and drink. What do you drink? You drink water. Thank God he's got living water available for the sinner.
Glory.
And when the sinner drinks of the living water of eternal life, there becomes established a well of water on the inside of him. That's what he told that woman at the well in John chapter 4, that woman that had been married five times. Five times.
Yeah.
And the man she was living with now was not her husband. So they were just kind of living together. Jesus brought that out when he had a conversation with her. He went out of his way to minister to that woman.
Yes, he did.
And he said, the water that I give shall be in him, shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. So when a person gets born again, they've got that well of living water on the inside of them. But thank God we can go from wells to rivers.
That's right.
Amen.
Because Jesus said in John chapter 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, how many of you believe on him in here this morning?
Yeah.
If he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly, out of his innermost being. The word belly in the King James is just another designation for spirit. The part of you that is eternal. Your heart, your spirit man. Out of his belly, not out of your head.
Hallelujah.
God doesn't dwell in your head. He dwells in your spirit.
Amen.
In your body. your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. You're not just natural, you're supernatural.
Yeah.
I said, we got to stop thinking of ourselves as merely natural human beings. We're not just natural human beings, we're supernatural.
Yes, we are. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God wants to add his super to our natural to do great exploits in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, amen. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, not out of his head, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. What's he talking about? He tells us in the next verse, verse 39, but this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But thank God he has been glorified. And he has poured out the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He did that on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has been on planet Earth since the day of Pentecost. He's the only member of the divine Godhead, the divine Trinity of Father, Son, Holy Spirit that's still here in the earth. The Father is seated on the throne.
Yes.
Jesus is seated on the right hand of God, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. I'm so happy to know Jesus is praying for me right now.
Thank you,
Jesus, for praying for me right now. I'll tell you, if Jesus is praying for you, and you pray prayers according to the Word of God, I believe you'll make it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this spake rivers of living water. Rivers. Out of his belly shall flow. Brothers and sisters, there should be a divine flow out of every one of us.
That's right.
Not something spooky or weird or odd. I mean, life transforming flow.
Amen.
Healing and deliverance flow.
Yes.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus and gave him the ability to preach, teach, cast out devils, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind and do the mighty works that he did, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power.
Yes.
Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Yeah.
God was with him in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he was.
He received the endowment of the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan.
Yes, he did.
At the hands of John the Baptist when he was baptized in water. Is that right?
Yes.
There needs to be a flow of God's Spirit coming out of every Christian.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
To transform, to touch, to heal, to bless a lost and dark generation around us today.
Yes.
I mean, the world is going crazy.
Yeah.
The United States is going crazy.
Yeah.
Thank God there's a remnant.
Glory.
I said, thank God there's a remnant.
Yes.
Of fire baptized, Jesus loving, word believing, revival minded believers.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
A flow of something that brings life to people. We don't offer religion to people. We offer life.
Amen.
A flow of healing and deliverance. I'll tell you something. When God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he didn't send the Holy Spirit to sit on a committee.
Yeah.
He didn't send the Holy Spirit to head up an advisory board. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church for great exploits in the name of Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
To give them the same power, same preaching power, same delivering power that Jesus himself had.
That's right.
Because Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, as Stephanie said last night when we had our informal gathering, I thought she was going to preach half my sermon last night. But anyway, when those believers were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they didn't camp out in the upper room and hold believers' meetings. You know, they didn't have, Thomas didn't conduct a seminar on overcoming doubt in the upper room. They didn't stay in the upper room and Peter held a workshop on how to walk on water without failing. No, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the gospel.
Everywhere. Yeah.
You see that in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. If we'll declare the word of God to hurting, suffering, sighing, crying, dying humanity, and do it with love, and do it with the anointing, God will confirm the word that we share with them with signs and wonders following.
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah.
He's never changed, hallelujah. He's never changed his program for the New Testament church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Church on fire.
Yes.
And I love Acts chapter 19 where it talks about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but not just Paul. Paul and his co-laborers. And it says this in verse 10. Acts 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. What continued by the space of 2 years? The preaching of the gospel, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, ministering to the hurting, bringing deliverance and salvation to people. This continued by the space of 2 years, so that all who dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, come on, 2 years. All who dwelled in Asia, we could say Asia Minor, not Far East Asia. When the Bible talks about Asia, it's talking about the nation, the present-day nation of Turkey. Turkey is Asia Minor in the Bible. That's where the seven churches of Revelation are, or were founded. So in 2 years' time, Paul and his companions preached with such passion, with such fire, with such conviction that everyone who dwelt in an 1,800-mile landmass heard the gospel. In 2 years, both Jews and Greeks, without advertising, without internet, without jet travel, without the printing press, without any of the modern conveniences that we have today, but they did it because they were consumed. Hallelujah, they were consumed. 2 years. We have no excuse. Well, that went over real big. Amen. I said we have no excuse as a church.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to get our priorities in line.
Yeah.
First things first.
Yeah.
I love Acts chapter 6. I love the whole book of Acts, but I'll tell you, I love Acts chapter 6. Because in Acts chapter 6, we learn about a man named Stephen. And we learn about a man named Philip.
Yeah.
They were two of the seven deacons that were chosen to feed the widows and the orphans in the daily administration of food.
Yeah.
And Stephen, here's what the Bible says about Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Stephen was not only full of faith, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Jim, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. I got filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Yeah, but are you filled today?
Come on.
Are you full today?
Yeah, come on.
A man full of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 8, still talking about Stephen. Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great miracles and wonders among the people.
Yeah.
Do you know why I love this verse, these verses so much about Stephen? Because Stephen was not an apostle.
That's right.
Some Bibles, at the very front of the book of Acts, says Acts of the Apostles. Well, that gives one the impression that the only people that the Holy Spirit moved through in such a mighty way was Peter, Paul, you know, the 12 apostles. But Stephen wasn't an apostle, and he did great miracles and wonders among the people. How was he able to do that? Did he have great personality? Was he a great orator? No, he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Amen.
You can be full of faith.
Yeah.
You ought to be full of faith.
Yeah.
And you ought to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We can be as full as we want to be.
That's right.
You know, I can be as full of iced tea as I want. I can drink as much iced tea as I can stand. Are you listening? I can drink as much water. I can get as filled up on water as I want to be. It's my choice.
Yeah.
You can be as full of the Holy Ghost as you choose
Come
to be.
On.
And we ought to be full all the time.
Yes, yes.
I said we can be full of the Holy Spirit of the living God all the time.
Amen.
I'll get to that in just a minute. And then Philip. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which he spake, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Demons were cast out. The crippled and the lame were healed. There was great joy in that city. There was revival. There was salvation. There was healing. There was casting out devils. How was he able to do that? Because Philip was full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because that was a requirement to be a deacon in the early church. You had to be full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, and Philip was not an apostle.
That's right.
Now later on in the book of Acts, he's referred to as Philip the Evangelist, who had so many daughters, virgins, that prophesied. I forget how many right now, but later on, it was later on in the book of Acts, he was known as Philip the Evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to me?
That's right.
Ordinary believers.
Yeah.
Ordinary, common believers, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just all up to the pastor. It's not just all up to the fivefold ministry.
Right.
If it was all up to the fivefold ministry to impact our world with a miracle-working, salvation-granting Jesus, there's not enough apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It takes the entire body of Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So those two men were not apostles. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Is this all right today?
Yeah.
2 Timothy. Glory to God. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, Timothy, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, Timothy, you've got to stir up the gift of God.
Yeah.
How many of you, I was going to say wives or women, but you know, guys are good cooks too. I mean, some of the best chefs in the world are guys.
Man.
How many of you ever made chili? You don't just dump in all the ingredients and turn on the stove and let that chili cook. No, you've got to stir. You've got to stir. You've got to get everything mixed together the way it's supposed to be. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and says, Timothy, I'm going to give you some good advice. My time of departure is at hand. I'm ready to be poured out as an offering unto the Lord. I'm going to give you some good spiritual wisdom. Stir up the gift of God.
Yes.
Stir up the, what is the gift of God? The Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
Because he just said, stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. How many know that in the New Testament, the conferring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit most times was done by the laying on of hands to confer the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. How many remember that song? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he has given unto us a spirit of power. That's what he's talking about. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of, you don't have a spirit of fear. You've got the Holy Spirit. Power, and he brings, and it manifests through you, power, love, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind.
Yeah.
Are you listening to
me?
But listen to some of these other translations. How many of you are ready to shout?
Yeah.
Some of you haven't even cracked a smile yet, let alone smile. Fan into flames, Timothy, the spiritual gift God gave you. How many of you ever built a campfire? Campfire girls, Boy Scouts?
Yeah.
You know, whatever, you build a campfire, you put the kindling wood, the little pieces of wood, and it catches on fire. Then you begin to put the little bigger logs and bigger logs, and pretty soon you got a roaring bonfire, and you cook hot dogs or marshmallows. You sing songs around the campfire, but pretty soon, as the night wears on, the fire gets lower and lower and lower. And if you leave it like that, it's just going to turn into glowing embers. So if you want the fire to continue, what do you have to do? You have to get rid of the ashes and get rid of the debris and put some good wood on there. And pretty soon, wow, there that flame comes rising up again.
Yeah.
We could be that way spiritually.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's some ashes that we got to get rid of.
That's right.
Sometimes there's some debris that hinders the flame of fire from rising up on the inside of us. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe we've got to get rid of the ashes of offense, unforgiveness, holding a grudge against somebody. Maybe it's the ashes of fear, doubt, worry, whatever it might be. You deal with those in the name of Jesus. You deal with those by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're throwing some logs on that fire. Pretty soon that fire. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues. Worship the Lord. Magnify the Lord. And pretty soon that fire comes raging again in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Kindle afresh the fire of the divine gift.
Yeah.
Keep ever blazing the gift. What's the purpose of all of this? Why were we blessed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in the first place and keep the fire of the Spirit burning? Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life is to cause us to be effective, fruitful, fearless, bold witnesses of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Not just telling people about Jesus, putting a living Christ on display.
That's right.
We're demonstrators, not just explainers.
That's right.
Amen.
Demonstrators.
Praise God.
Because He lives in us.
Amen.
And He needs a mouth to speak through. And He needs hands to be laid on the sick.
Amen.
Our hands become His hands. Our mouth becomes His mouth.
Amen.
Our arms of compassion become His arms.
Yes.
Are you listening to
Thank
me?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stir up
Thank
the gift
you,
of God.
Amen.
Stay
Amen.
On fire.
Amen.
Keep ever blazing the gift. And then there was Paul that wrote in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Be ever filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening to him? The same Paul that wrote to Timothy here and told him to keep the fire burning is telling the Ephesian church to constantly maintain the glow, constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, Brother Jim. You can't live like that all the time. Oh, yes, you can.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
That's right.
It's a decision. Paul said you could live like that all the time.
Yeah.
If Paul wouldn't tell Timothy, and Paul wouldn't tell the Ephesian church to do something he himself didn't do.
That's right.
If Paul could stay filled with the Holy Spirit, if Paul could maintain the glow after all the hardships and suffering and beatings and imprisonment and shipwreck that he faced, he would have no business telling somebody else you can stay full.
Amen.
Are you listening to him?
Amen.
Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, come on, Jim. You can't stay like, you can't live like that all the time. Hey, listen, I know some people that are drunk all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about on the new wine. I'm talking about the old wine.
Yeah.
I mean, they're drunk all the time.
Yeah.
I know some people that are on drugs all the time.
That's right.
I know some people that live like the devil all the time. Mm-hmm. I know some people that cuss all the time. I mean, I don't know personally now, but I mean, I know there's people out there because one time I was in the world and I was around people like that. If they can live for the devil all the time, don't tell me we can't live on fire for God by the power of the ever-burning Holy Spirit in us all the time. I'll tell you, we said we can do what the Bible says we can do. That was our confession of faith. Isn't that right? But notice, what's the whole reason for staying full of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy? The whole reason for the fire of God to be burning in us. Yes, for personal revival, for personal stimulation of the Holy Spirit and love the things of God more than anything in this world. But there's an even greater reason than that, and it's in verse 8. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. We got to start bringing people into the kingdom of God every day.
Yes.
Every day. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
Say that with me. The gospel,
the gospel is
the power of God. And if we proclaim it, God will back it up.
That's right.
Amen.
I said if we'll step out of our lethargy, if we'll step out of our apathy, apathy, if we'll step out of our intimidation and just pray for holy boldness, when we share Jesus with people, the Holy Ghost will get a hold of those words. He will breathe on those words.
Oh, yes.
And he will penetrate the hearts of the person that you share Jesus with. It's the gospel that does the work.
Amen.
It's the gospel that's the power of God
unto
salvation. I'll tell you, the heartbeat of God is souls. Souls.
Amen.
Eternal souls for whom Jesus suffered and died and bled on the cross. And arose from death 3 days later. Souls, that people that were created in the image of God to know him and have a relationship with him. The evangelism of the world is the number one task of the church. That was a quote by T.L. Osborne, who probably before Reinhard Bonnke had preached to more people, in front of more people face to face than anybody in the history of the church. And he said, world evangelism is the number one task of the church. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus didn't come into the world to establish a new world religion. He came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to destroy the works of the enemy.
Amen.
He came into this world. He said himself out of Jesus' own lips in Luke 19, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. And just as Stephanie mentioned earlier, 100 years from now, what's going to really matter in your life, in my life, in our lives together? It won't be our job. It won't be our cars. It won't be our possessions. It won't be our homes. It won't be our vacations. It won't be a lot of the things that we spend most of our time worrying about, thinking about, focused on. Not that those things are not important. They are important. But not at the expense of us not reminding ourselves of the fact of eternity.
Uh-huh. Amen.
How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Jesus said, don't say 4 months from now the harvest is going to be ready to be reaped. He said, lift up your eyes and behold, the fields are even now white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest.
Yeah.
We're his laborers.
Amen.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room, we're his laborers.
Yeah.
You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too uneducated. You're not too overly educated. God wants to use you right where you are beginning today.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The only thing we take to heaven with us, we don't take our investments. We don't take our fine automobiles. We don't take anything with us except the people that we led to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
For all of eternity.
Thank you.
A million years from now, we're going to be worshiping him, praising him, thanking him for the blood that was shed on Calvary. A million years from now, we're going to be beholding the Lamb of God. There's going to be that sea of people. The song of the redeemed is going to be sung forever and forever and forever, but not if somebody doesn't tell them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We've
got to get back to putting first things first. We can't just live out our Christianity in the church house on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. The purpose of us getting together is to encourage one another, fellowship with one another, share our lives and testimonies of what God is doing in our life with each other. Hear the man or the woman of God expound the word of God to feed our spirits and to arm us and make us even more dangerous to the kingdom of darkness than we are now.
Amen. That's right.
Are you listening to me? Real quick, I'm going to close here. Let me give you some action steps. If you have a paper and pencil or a paper and pen, let's put some action to what we've been talking about today. Stir up the gift of God. Hallelujah. Winning souls. Staying full of the fire of God. I'll tell you, there's a soul winner's crown awaiting us. That's the only crown that I'm concerned about. Yeah. I'm not concerned about the accolades and the praises of men. I'm concerned about the crown of the soul winner.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul said there's a crown waiting for me, and not just for me, but for all those who love the name of Jesus. First of all, let's position ourselves to be ready, willing, and able to go forth boldly and declare living Christ to the people in our generation. Number one, fast and pray. Fast and pray. That is a discipline that was in the early church. I mean, fasting and prayer goes back to the Old Testament. But in the early church, Jesus talked about fasting. He said, when you fast, anoint yourself. Don't try to look all sad and down in the face so people say, oh, look at him. He's fasting. What a spiritual person. No, he said, when you fast, anoint your head. Anoint your face with oil. Comb your hair. Look cheerful. When you fast, fasting and prayer. What's the purpose of fasting and prayer? To deny your flesh, to subjugate your flesh so that your spirit man rises up in the ascendancy in your life.
Amen.
So the Spirit of God in your spirit has the dominion that it ought to have. So you can hear from God more clearly. Fast and pray. When you fast, don't just not have food. Combine fasting with prayer. It's amazing. It'll increase your sensitivity to hear from God.
Amen.
How many believe we need to hear from God in these last days?
Amen. Amen.
No rules on how to fast, what to fast. Fasting is going without food for a certain period of time. And it'll sharpen your spiritual energy.
Amen.
And your spiritual focus.
Amen.
Fast and pray. Paul said, I keep under my body. And I keep it in subjection. Lest that by any means, when I preach unto others, I myself might be a castaway or disqualified from the ministry. That means that Paul had to keep his body under. I believe one of the ways he did that was by fasting and prayer. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Secondly, cultivate a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving unto God.
Yes.
Praise and thanksgiving. You know, Ephesians 5:18, Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord. Praising God, worshiping God, giving thanks always. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
Be thankful.
Yes.
Be thankful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Things might not be the way you want them to be, but be thankful for what you have. Be thankful that God is moving in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right. Praise. Praise. Offer to God. But Brother Jim, I don't feel like praising. Most of the time we don't feel like praising. But when we pray, when we push through our feelings and give God the praise and give Jesus the praise that he so richly deserves, that's when it becomes a sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
That is acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. Is daily praise and worship a part of your life? Do you give God thanks and praise several times a day? If you don't, I challenge you to do it. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
It'll make you more God-minded, more heaven-minded, more Jesus-minded.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It ushers his presence into our lives. God inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
There's something about genuine, heartfelt praise and thanks that will just cause, it'll change the atmosphere around you.
Amen.
It'll change the atmosphere around your circumstances and situations. This is not an exhaustive list, but number three, put the power of faith to work. Anybody ever hear about faith?
Yeah.
Faith calls those things which be not as though they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak.
Yeah.
Faith speaks.
Faith
doesn't just believe. Faith speaks.
Right.
Do you speak the word of God out loud?
Yeah.
Do you take the promises and the blessings of God and speak them out loud?
Oh, yes.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm the head and not the tail.
Yes.
I'm above only and not beneath.
Amen.
I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Start reading your Bible out loud. Start memorizing the Word of God and then speak it out loud when it's appropriate to do so. Faith thrives on believing and speaking.
Yes.
That's the spirit of faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop limiting God by small prayers, small believing. He's a big God. He can handle a big prayer request from you. But when you pray, pray in faith.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's faith that pleases God.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something. Praise and worship will build up your faith.
Amen.
Number four. And we'll close right here. Get your eyes off yourself and start reaching out and ministering to other people.
Amen.
Minister to other people. The supply of the Spirit that dwells on the inside of you needs to be released into other people's lives.
Amen.
You've got resurrection life on the inside
yes,
of you
amen.
That needs to be released into people's circumstances.
Amen.
Sickness and disease, marriage problems, confusion, depression, whatever the case might be. You've got a well and a river of living water on the inside of you that needs
yeah.
to be released.
Yes.
It's resurrection life.
Yes.
Amen.
The life of Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus' life being released into other people's lives will change them forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe that one of the reasons why Christians are so unfulfilled, so unhappy, negative, depressed, downcast, is because there's something on the inside of them that needs to be released.
Amen. That's right.
And if you begin to release your life into other people's life,
uh-huh.
you begin to release what you know about God into other people's lives, I'm telling you, it will change you forever. And the more you give, the more God will give you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good
yeah.
measure. That's not just talking about money. That's talking about anything God's given you.
Uh-huh.
Give and more will be given unto you.